Well, last Wednesday evening, I began a series entitled The Power of Prophetic Acts. And it was just on my heart to step into some teaching for a few Wednesday nights about prophetic acts and prophetic assignments that the Lord gives us. And I'm going to step back into some historical things that have happened in my life and that we've done corporately, regionally, and around the state concerning prophetic assignments and prophetic actions. And I do want to give you a brief reminder of where we started last week. You can see here the tagline that we'll study how God uses prophetic assignments and actions to convey His purposes and carry out His plans. And last week, I gave you some examples, particularly out of the Old Testament. We dropped by and visited with Jeremiah, and we saw one time God had him to take his garment off, really probably his undergarment off, and go down to by the river Euphrates and dig a hole and bury it, then go back later and dig it up and see how ruined and dirty it was, as a prophetically messaging Israel of how sin had ruined the people of God. And another place, he was told to take a clay pot and dash it to pieces in front of the religious leaders, and showing the future destruction of the nation of Israel because of their sin. And that happened. And another thing he did was the Lord had him to put a yoke on and walk up and down the street under that yoke, messaging to them prophetically, you are going to be yoked up by another people and enslaved and carried away, and it happened just like he prophesied it. In the New Testament, we saw a man named Agabus and how he took Paul's belt, the rope around his waist, the sash, and bound his hands and his feet and says, the man to whom this belt belongs, he will be bound like this and delivered over to the Gentiles, you know, when he goes to Jerusalem. The Lord told Paul that everywhere he went on the way to Jerusalem. He arrived there knowing what was going to happen. God told him, though, that you're going to make it to Rome. And his way to get to Rome would be in cuffs, so to speak. But those were prophetic actions that you see in Scripture. And there's many others. Tonight, I'm going to share some story with you. A couple of things. One relates something personal, and the other relates something that happened corporately and resulted in a group of us going around the entire state of Alabama. So the first thing I want to begin to share happened in 2003. I've noticed in my life there are certain dates that powerful things have happened recurrently. There's a couple of different times in the year when I can look back and chart where God did certain things. Now, I'm not saying He doesn't do it other times, but these are just highlighted. In my life, for instance, my dad died on June the 12th, 1996. Interestingly, the first time I ever preached a gospel message was on June the 12th, 1983. So 13 years later, my dad dies on that day. 7 years after my dad died on June the 12th, Mickey and I told a real estate agent that we wanted to buy a piece of property, and that's where we live now. It was a grown-up, a 10-acre piece of property, but that happened on June the 12th. Didn't plan it that way. That's just when it happened, June the 12th. And 20 years later, which, by the way, that was June the 12th, 2003, which was the 20th anniversary of when I preached my first message. Then 20 years later, on June the 12th, 2023, sitting on my back patio at the house where we live, I received a real download of the Lord where He laid out things that were going to begin to happen over the following months. And it has been amazing to see how those things have unfolded. Not all of them have come to pass yet, but all of them, I can see the markers that God is working on those things. And so I'm not worshiping that particular date. I'm just observing, wow, it just seems like for some reason that's when my number comes up a lot of times. But I want to go back to that 2003 date on June the 12th, because at that time I was pastoring at, it was at Faith Tabernacle, and later we changed the name to Faith Church. But we were living in the church parsonage, but we had plans to build and expand, so we started looking for a place to live. And this property was available. It was grown up. It had pine trees about this high. And then it had some pine trees this big around on it that were really tall, very grown up. I remember the first time I walked through it and looked at it, it was, you had to do like this. You almost needed a machete, and I was covered with ticks when I came out. But the Lord began to deal with us that, you know, I'm a builder, so I realized, well, I can bring a dozier in here, and I found a high spot up there, and I believe I can put a road in and curve it around like this and leave these big trees, and it would just be sitting back behind the trees. I like the woods. I'm a country boy. And so on June the 12th, we decided, and we told the real estate agent that we were very interested in the land. And so we began to pray to get final confirmation before we signed the papers. And the Lord spoke to me out of Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. And I've got those up there for you. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines are in the, I think it's the KJV, my lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. So when I read this, when I was reading Psalm 16, I felt the Holy Spirit, that became a rhema word to me, because I'd been walking over this property and I felt like the Lord's telling me, this is going to be the lot of land that I have for you. I've caused these lines to fall in pleasant places. This is part of inheritance that I'm going to give you. I'm your cup. I'm your portion. And so it was just a real confirming word. I was really excited about that. Well, at that time, my friend and then worship pastor, he and I were serving together, Lenny LeBlanc, he had bought the property next door, and he had a guy over there doing dozier work. And so I went over there, and I told him, hey, when you get through here, I want you to come and begin to clear this property. I want to clear off the first half of it, and I want to leave all the timber on the last half of it. Then I can make it a mini farm, and you save money on taxes that way. So, and I told him, I said, I want you to go down through here, and I want you to curve around and so forth. So when I got to talking with him, and he said he would come do it, this is... things really begin to click. Why? Because this man's name was George Elam. And we were talking, and I said, well, you know, yeah, we moved up from Winston County, and we were at Haleville. I said, my wife's actually from Addison. He said, oh, really? He said, well, yeah. He said, I actually cleared land off for a man down there in Addison about 40 years ago. His name was Melbourne Denton. That's my wife's dad. So here's a man who's still doing dozier work 40 years later, who cleared the property for my wife's father on his farm in Winston County. So now I'm thinking about these lines. Now inheritance, because it had to do with generational stuff. Even the same man that cleared the property for her dad is now clearing her land, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm getting really excited. So he came over there, and he started doing his dozier work and clearing out. So that morning when he was going to start clearing out, I was reading, and I was reading in the Gospels, and we're talking about the man who found the treasure buried in a field, right? And I just felt led of the Lord, I'm going to go over there and walk behind the dozier, because I think I'm going to find something. I mean, that's odd. That's bizarre. But, hey, I'm going for it. I'm learning about this prophetic stuff. And like, well, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. I feel it. You know, the unction of the Holy Spirit. So I go over there, and I start following him. And he goes down, and where he crosses over, he thought he was going to have to build this big dam, you know, because of it was really low. And he stops, and he comes back, and he says, "You are a blessed man." I said, "Why?" He said, "There apparently was a pond here years and years ago. There is already a dam that's built across here. We can take the road just right across." And you couldn't even tell it was so grown up. And so I followed him. He went across that. He cleared it out. And this popped up behind one of his dozer tracks. And I pulled it out of the ground, cleaned it off. But it is a smelter's cup that they would liquefy lead in. And so when I found this smelter's cup, I thought, "You are my cup and my portion." I mean, it's all, everything in this scripture, my lines are falling in pleasant places. You're my cup, you're my portion. So I was really, really excited. So I knew. See, the scripture teaches us this. There is such a relationship between a man and the land, or a woman in the land. There's a relationship between humans and land. If you think about it, everything pretty much circulates in our lives around something to do with the land, either cultivating it. Just notice that when you eat, how much of it comes from the land. And the meat you eat feeds off the land. So it comes from cultivation or excavation. How much of our life is touched by things that are excavated, by mining oil and metal and ore and so forth, or investigation through man's mental acuity and ability that God's given him, finding the things that the earth can provide to help and benefit us. In Acts chapter 17, where Paul is talking to people in Athens who were pantheists. Everything was a god. They had statues everywhere. So he's trying to relate to them. He tells them, "Listen, God predetermined the boundary of your dwelling." Basically, where you were going to be born, who your parents were going to be. And he says, and we all ultimately come from one blood. See, we all came from Adam, Hebrew. Dirt man, the red man, the clay man. God made him from the mud of the ground, from the sand and grit of the ground. The man came from the land. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. God breathed his life into that dust, and man became a living soul. So there is this relationship, and God was involved in where you would be born, where you would walk the land. You know, and sometimes we get relocated and God leads us to relocate and be at a different place. Like this land, this was, you know, like the 18th house I've lived in through our years of ministry and growing up. But I knew this is where the Lord wanted us to stake our claim and be. He has caused my lines to fall in pleasant places. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to live there till I die. I don't know. Because we have to live our lives like, "Lord, I'm here for the rest of my life or for five more minutes. That's up to you." You know, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So I knew, okay, this is it. So what did I do? I went to the four corners of that property and I dug me a hole. I ran scriptures off my computer. And I stood there on the corner of the property, and I read the Word of God, and I folded up that scripture. I put that paper in the ground. I poured oil down on that. Why am I doing that? I'm doing a prophetic act. I'm declaring, I would look down that line. I plead the blood of Jesus down this east, west to east line, that this property belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead His blood over it. I dedicate it to Him. It will honor Him. Then I looked down this south line and on that corner, and I dedicated that south line. Then I walked over to that other side, that other east-west line, and I dug a hole, and I put the scripture in there, and I poured anointing oil, and I decreed, and I prayed over that property. Then I walked the length of it to the far corner, and I did the same thing down that end. and down the side on all four corners, dedicated that property to the Lord. Why? There's a relationship between the man and the land. And the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that the earth is groaning, just waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, when God created Adam, and before we get to chapter 3, and Adam and Eve walked this earth, there was a glory and anointing on their life. And I believe when they walked through by a vegetable, it just grew a little bit. You know, those leaves just lit up because of the glory of God that was on them. The earth responds to the man. Why? God created the man and made man the steward of the earth under his regency. Man was the under-regent of God. And so the earth is moaning and groaning, looking for that day when once again the people who are leaving their footprint on this planet have that glory and that anointing on their life so that the earth responds to them. And I'm not getting out there in some spooky bazaar or something. I'm telling you what's in the Word of God. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof, yes, our daddy owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. He put the diamonds in the ground, the oil in the ground, all of that for his kids. Or do you prefer to believe that he did that just for the devil's family? So, that was a prophetic action I took on the property where we live. I encourage you to dedicate your house, your property to the Lord. Be bold about it. Be confident about it. Realize you're basically saying, Lord, I know I'm here because you put me here. I know this air I breathe, it came from you. The rain that falls, you send it. The sun that falls on me, you're the one that causes that sun to shine. It all belongs to you. And so I give this to you. I dedicate it. Already yours. I'm acknowledging it's yours. And I want to be a good steward. I want it to honor you. And I want it to glorify you. And that's one reason we're taught to give the Lord the first fruit of all our increase. What the ground produces and gives to us, we are acknowledging, God, it's all yours here. Now, so we... And interestingly, about a year before this, Mickey and I were in Colorado Springs. Now, that's another thing. There is such a strong relationship between Colorado and things in our life. Most of it really good. And when we were in a real tough time in our life, that's where we ended up, and God used people to help us then. Colorado, Colorado, Colorado. My wife woke up one night and heard the Lord speak to her. Colorado, Colorado, Colorado. She'll tell you this. And when she heard it, she knew that Heavenly Father, Earthly Father, Spiritual Father. And this came to her. She knew that her biological father had attended school in Colorado. She knew she had been baptized in the Holy Spirit by her Heavenly Father in Colorado Springs at a conference that we attended. And her spiritual father, a pastor that we both really dearly loved, still love him at that time, but we're really close, and she looked to him kind of like a spiritual father. She sends him an email and says, I need to know where you were born. And she didn't have a clue, but she knew in her heart he's from Colorado. And sure enough, he was. Colorado, Colorado, Colorado. So here's another Colorado thing for her. She's in Colorado. Bishop Harry Jackson, who's now with the Lord, who is the bishop over Bishop Kyle Searcy, who's now one of our executive board members here at Grace House. We didn't know any of that, of course, back then. But he prophesied over us. He prophesied over me. He said, you're going to pray over governors. You're going to stand before governmental leaders. God's going to open the doors and the halls of government for you to minister. And, you know, okay, Lord, if that's what you want to do. But, you know, since then, and that's been over 20 years ago, I've had the opportunity to do that. I've had the opportunity to lay hands on our state's governor, not the one we currently have, but previous governors. I've been in the governor's office for prayer meeting and Bible study. I've been able to address the legislature of the state of Alabama and share a devotional and pray over them. And I've been able to do some things like that. I've been able to prophesy over the prime minister of Grenada. Bishop was seeing that way back then and declared it over me. And he also told my wife, "You're going to have a ministry helping women, particularly in a lot of young women. I just see you really helping them in tough times." Well, and then now she's a professional counselor. That's what she's doing, a lot of that. But he also prophesied, and the Lord says, "You're about to get a new house." Well, we didn't know at that time that the one we're living in was going to be bulldozed down. You know, that would come in the following months, all that unfolded. But here we were now. The Lord says, I'm just saying, God really does orchestrate our lives. He's a lot more involved in your life than you may give Him credit for. Some of you watching online, you need to realize this. This is not just some random thing that people do, a religious thing to have like kind of a spiritual component of your life. Listen, He is to be our life. And He has a plan, a blueprint, and a purpose for your life. And the steps of the righteous, they really are ordered of the Lord. And that's true for us all here tonight. So, that was just really cool how all that came together, but there were so many prophetic things firing off left and right that you learn to be aware of those things and pay attention when you're reading the Scripture, when the Lord highlights something and it becomes a rhema word. And the spiritual intuition you have because the Holy Spirit lives within you, you need to learn to lean into that and recognize when the Holy Spirit's pulling you or directing you or cautioning you. Now, let me take a few moments and talk to you about a corporate event, because on a Wednesday night service like this, this was in around 2006 or so, 6 or 7, Wednesday night service, and it was like, I think we were getting close to transitioning to ministry time, and all of a sudden it's boom, I have a vision. Nobody really knows this because it's just one of those, like, whoa, I'm having a vision. And the Lord showed me a map of the state of Alabama. It's kind of like, you know when Bonanza came on? It had that map and the fire started burning. It's kind of like that. I saw the state of Alabama, and it's like I saw this fire around it. And then I saw the corners highlighted and then the center lighting up. And that's all I saw. But I knew, I had, in seeing it, that Holy Spirit was showing me something. But at the same time, He was releasing a spiritual understanding of the message I was being given through what I was seeing. I knew then, okay, we've got to go to all four corners, as close as we can get to the four corners of the state of Alabama. And we've got to pray. Pray over the borders of the state of Alabama and pray for revival, dedicate the state. Lots of people have probably done this, but you know what? That's all right if I'm the 10,000th and second one to do it. That's all right. You learn to be obedient. It's not about some things are accomplished, but it's really about just being obedient and doing what God's showing you, even if you don't understand why, even if you don't know how He's going to use it, even if you don't know how it's going to all fit together. I don't think Jeremiah fully understood everything that the Lord led him to do. Now, probably when it's said and done, he did. But in the middle of it, the doing of it, it requires faith. It does for each of us. And so, okay, we got to travel the state of Alabama, all the whole state. We ended up spending, I think, what, Mike, you were part of 16 and a half hours or something like that total in a car. And we spent the night in the Mobile area. But we started in Waterloo, Alabama. And I put out a call. Hey, this is what we're going to do. All of you guts enough to go with me, you know, let's get together. So we had an entourage. I forgot how many people, maybe 10 or 12 of us or something like that. And we started at the northwest corner. We got our maps, did some, you know, the checking out the closest we could get. We'd had to go out in the middle of the Tennessee River to get right on the corner. So we ended up in Waterloo down at the, you know, that's where we decided we'd, so what we're going to do, we drive a stake, pour anointing oil. In other words, this is a point of contact with the earth. Lord, we are saying that in the realm of the Spirit, we are praying for revival over the state of Alabama. We are praying for God to move, for you to move. We are dedicating this state to you. Because the Lord had shown me, go to those four states. Then he said, I want you to come back to the center of the state. And just, I just saw, it was like a tent being raised. You know, like you put the pole in the center. He said, I want you to lift me up in the center of the state. So we planned it out. We're going to go to Waterloo, and then we're going to go down to Mobile, as close to the corner as we can get. We're going to drive across down in the Dothan area in that corner in the southeastern part of Alabama. And then we're going to drive up the board, all the way up the Georgia line to the northeastern corner, as close as we can get, up beyond Scottsboro, up in DeKalb County, up in that area. Then we're going to come back to Florence and regroup, and then we're going to go to Montgomery on a Wednesday night. And I got with Bishop Kyle Searcy. I got to know him. He was 100% all in. I'm for it, brother. He came all the way up and went the whole thing with us. We've got pictures somewhere, got a video somewhere of all this. I went and found some notes to rehearse this, but it was such a powerful experience. We started in Waterloo. And here's what I want to share with you. God supernaturally, we believe, confirmed at all four corners that we were in the right place at the right time and we had done the right thing. And it's like, I'm going to breathe on something to send a message to you. Well done. And then we headed to the other corner. And when we went to Waterloo, we were driving a stake. Of course, these are just graphics representations. And you can see the state of Alabama, and I put a little star up there for you to see the part of the state we were in. But while we were praying and anointing, an eagle flew over us. Well, it was prophetic enough that we was all in that. You know, the eagles, there's so many scriptures that talks about the eagle. An eagle, so we were amped. Okay, I mean, yeah, there's eagles that fly by out there occasionally, but this flew by right when we were doing the stuff. Timing. A lot of God's confirmations and miracles often involve timing. For instance, Philip is in Samaria, full-scale revival breaking out. And the Holy Spirit says, go out in the wilderness. Doesn't tell him why, does he? Just tells him to go. What's he do? He didn't argue with the Lord for 2 days and decide, well, I might ease off that way. He took off. And you know what happened? Timing. He intersected with a person, an Ethiopian eunuch. They crossed paths. He got in the chariot when? Just so happened to be when this guy was reading a scroll of the book of Isaiah that talked about he was wounded for our transgression. It talked about Jesus dying on the cross in the Old Testament. And he said, I don't understand this. Philip got in and says, scoot over, bud. I'm paraphrasing. And preached Jesus to him. And then they stopped the chariot. Just so happened to be upon the water. Because he had talked to him about trusting Jesus and being baptized. Another reason you need to be baptized. He got down out of that chariot. They went into that water and he baptized that man. He carries the gospel back to Africa. And the Jesus story begins on a new continent. That's a miracle of timing. And not only that, it says, and Philip was caught away by the Lord and found himself in Azotus. Now, I don't think that meant he started jogging and ended up at his... That was a supernatural thing that happened. Because he obeyed God, was the right place at the right time and was able to do the right thing, then God gave him, I believe, gave him like an angelic taxi ride on to the next stop. Awesome. So it's in the Bible. So this happened. Now we travel all the way down to Mobile, Alabama, and I'd gotten on the map, and the place that we found that we could still be on the ground, not out in the water, in the ocean, in the very corner, was at Lightning Point. We thought, yeah, Lightning Point, yeah. So we go, we do the same things, and it's getting about dark, close to dark, and drive the stake in the ground. We took times. There was a few of us. We'd tap it a few times, poured oil on it, and we'd be praying. We'd praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, prophesying, decreeing. And then somebody said, look. And we looked out in the ocean, and where did my picture go? There it is. We saw a rainbow. Well, I don't know if God does stuff like that. Well, you talk to Noah about that. Talk to Noah about that. Yes. I mean, timing. It wasn't there when we started, was it, Mike? But when we claimed the ground, made the decrees, it's like God smiled with a rainbow. Yeah, the preacher's getting a little quirky tonight, isn't he? Oh, I'm not even half wound up yet. So then, and by the way, when we were getting close to Mobile, let me tell you what stuff that God does. We're not in Mobile yet, but we're getting close to Mobile. I get a phone call from a prophetic brother. He has since gone to the Lord just a few years ago. His name is Johnny Foote. Some of you may have heard of Johnny Foote. Precious brother. I had met him before, but I had not talked to Johnny in 2 or 3 years. We're driving maybe 30 minutes out of Mobile. Ring, hello. Pastor Eddie, yeah. Johnny Foote, how you doing? I said, doing great. He said, Lord, this laid you on my heart. Where are you? I said, we're getting close to Mobile. Oh, I understand. He lived in Pensacola. We were in his sphere that God had given him for ministry. In the spirit, the Lord told him to call me. It was another confirmation. The next morning, we met with him for breakfast before we went on over to Dothan to pray at the southeast corner, which we found close to, what was the prison there? There was a woman's prison down there. There was a prison not far from there. But nothing really spectacular was happening. So we did our thing, and we had just left, and we were going up the road, and my phone rings. And I answered it, and this pastor was telling me who he was. I'd never met him. He said, I know you're going to think this is strange, but I had tracked you down. Somehow or another, he had heard about what we were doing, how that we were going to the four corners of the state and that we were going to be coming to the southeastern corner. And he said, I just had to track you down. And it was amazing how he found out to get my phone number and call me, and that in the middle of what we were doing, that I took a call from him, a number I didn't recognize because we were on a mission, but I took it. And he said, I just had to tell you this. He said, I was sitting in my office. This was like a few days before. He said, I don't know about that stuff y'all are doing, but when I heard about it, I had to call you. I was sitting in my office, and he said, I had this strange sensation come over me, and that the Lord wanted me to go get my vehicle and go out and drive a stake in the ground and pray over this region. And he said, so I had to call you and let you know that God told me to do that. But he said, here's what's amazing. I didn't know where to drive it. And I felt like the Lord said, just get in your car and start driving. He said, I got in my car and I drove a little while, and I felt like the Lord said, now pull over. He said, I was in the middle of nowhere down here, and I pulled over on the side of the road. And, well, Lord, okay, you want me to just get out and drive the stake here? And the Lord said, yeah. So he gets out and gets his hammer and his stake and goes to the back of his car and to drive his stake. And there on the side of the road was a basket, one of those, like when you catch fish and you put it in a basket, you know, keep them alive in the water. There was a basket of fish. just laying in the grass off the side of the road. No house in sight, no one in sight. And get this, they were still alive. So fish in a net. I mean, you don't have to be just real prophetic. The Lord tells you to drive, stop, get out, and then there's this. I mean, if it had been dead fish, but they're still alive and there's no one around. And so we felt like this is a sign of, you know, God's blessing, his multiplication, his increase, you know, that kind of cast the net on the other side, that kind of. He was so wired, and I told him what we were doing and what had been happening. It just confirmed things for him, and what he shared with us just confirmed. Yep, even down here in this corner where we don't know anybody, we know somebody. We know the Holy Ghost, and he knew somebody to call us. It was just really cool. But we're not through yet. So we drive, now we take the long drive up the east side of Alabama from the Dothan area all the way up into DeKalb County. And we got up there, and it was right at dark. And on the map, the corner of the state was in a park. I forget the name of that park. Mike, are you helping me down there? Huh? Yes, DeSoto. Well, we got there, and one of those big pipe gates. It's locked down. So we just stopped, and we got out of the car, and we're talking. Well, you know, maybe we're going to just have to pray right here, but according to the map, we need to get on up a little further. We want to get as close to the corner as we can. And in a moment, a park ranger drives up, and he gets out. Can I help you folks, you know? Well, we felt like we were a bunch of nuts, kind of, but we're screwed on the right boat, you know. So we said, hey, well, this may sound a little out there to you, but we're praying in all the corners of the state of Alabama. God told us to do this, so we're here to pray. And we know the corner's not far from here, but we're just here to pray. It'd be all right for us to pray. He said, you're here to pray? He said, wait a minute. He unlocks the gate. He says, y'all follow me. I got just the place for you. So now the park's opened up to us after hours. We've got an escort by a park ranger, and he carries us up. He said, this is not too far from the corner, but it was a church built around a rock. You go into this building, and the whole pulpit area, this just natural rock that sticks out of the ground, they had built around it. It was really cool. He unlocks it, takes us in. He says, y'all pray as long as you want to. And when you leave, you know, go out the gate, if you don't mind, close that. And he opened it up and left it. And so, man, we got in that church in Alden and started praying. And then we came outside, and the night light was on, and that's when we saw the whale. There was an old whale out there. And we were so amped. So much had been happening. There's so much anointing and our praying and everything. And I this park might have been an Eddie vision, but I said, guys, I wanna shout in that whale, because you know I've been studying about how they redug the wells of their father Abraham. You know, had to redug those wells, and so the water had come back. And I said, I want to declare revival down in that well. So there's enough folks that was crazy enough with me. I got over in that well, and they held me by my ankles and let me down in that well. And if they had ever wanted to get rid of their preacher, they had a good shot at it right there. But they held me by my ankles, and I know this. Those of you online, we are real people. This is not AI. We believe this stuff. Buckle up and hang on. So I'm hanging upside down like a bat. Revival! You know, just the top of my lungs. And it felt so good. Of course, it's in that well, and so it came bellowing out. And then we got out, and Bishop Kyle and I started praying in the Spirit, and it got crazy. I mean, we ended up, like, hitting the ground. And then, Mike, you're here. You bear witness to this. Raise your hand if I'm telling the truth. All right. All this is happening, and there's a nightlight out there. The nightlight comes on when? When it's dark. So, but when the sun comes back out, it goes off, right? We're praying this is happening. A ball of light appears and just explodes. It puts the light off. And there's no grid for that. No grid for it. But you can't deny what you've just seen. Well, we ended up going, just being on the ground, overcome by the Holy Spirit. I have a vision. And I won't go into all the details of it, but it was like I was taken back in time when the Native Americans were coming through that area on the Trail of Tears. I started weeping because I was seeing this. My senses were engaged in this scene, like I was feeling what these people were going through. This, again, an identificational thing. And I saw this line of Native Americans, and then there was one of the white soldier guys came over, took a baby out of her arms, and threw that baby in a river. And they just kept going. We really went into some travail and prayer concerning that issue, but also the abortion issue, because we felt there were two different messages in what I was allowed to see. And again, a lot of times visions can be things where you literally see something that has happened or is going to happen, but it also can involve images and meaning that you interpret the vision and get the message. Well, we knew literally that the Trail of Tears came through that area, and we knew literally there was a lot of real terrible things that happened to the Native Americans. But we also realized that in our culture, the abortion issue is a really terrible, horrible thing that's happened. So we just went to prayer, and we felt like God really did something with that, that it shifted some things. And so at all four corners, and by the way, this was, let me get the whale. This is, I should have put that up when I was telling that part of the story, but it was that kind of experience. Now, we ended up by going back to Montgomery. I think it was the next night, would have been Wednesday night. So we went home and rested, then went back to Montgomery that next night and to Bishop Kyle's church. He's been in two other locations since then. But the glory of God so visited that we met together. It's not about racial things, but there was probably half African Americans and half Caucasians. We were together worshiping. Mike helped me, was it a cross or a sword that we Yeah, I had the big, broad-bladed, I call it my William Wallace sword, you know, Braveheart. It's a real big one. And we had somebody up front just holding that up. But then, spontaneously, we started washing each other's feet. There were a lot of tears. The worship was going. It was just, the anointing and glory of God got so thick, the weeping, the rejoicing. There was such healing in the room, such celebration in the room. The prayer was just, God's glory was just thick in that atmosphere. And after it was all said and done, I was just so grateful. Lord, thank you for showing me that little vision. And thank you for people that was willing just to go for it and do it with me. To travel 16 and a half hours praying around the entire state of Alabama and claiming these four corners, claiming the state of Alabama. And there's been numbers of things that have happened through the years. I don't believe it's just like one thing like that changes everything. God's got people all over doing stuff like this. And He's doing something through all of it. Right now there's a movement called All in Alabama that we've been a part of. I have recently been asked to be over the Lauderdale, Colbert, Franklin, and Lawrence counties for All in Alabama. And the Lord's, I've been, I don't have time to get into it tonight, but there's something I'm going to be asking all of us to step into together related to that. This weekend before last, Mickey and I were in Mobile Bay, which was originally called the Bay of the Holy Spirit. We had people from all across Alabama, folks kind of like on the edge like us. We got together and went into Mobile Bay and immersed ourselves as picture of the state of Alabama being cleansed and rising up together, that the state of Alabama is coming out of a lot of that junk and gunk of the past, all the iniquitous patterns and all the demonic entanglements, into the new day that God has for us, full of the Holy Spirit and the fresh baptism of the love of God. So it was a prophetic act and a prophetic assignment. And we did it as one. So these things can be used of the Lord. And we see similar type things in the Scripture. We have scriptural examples that tell us, yes, God used to do things like that. Encourages us that, yes, God still does things like this. And when you're in the middle of it and you experience the fruit of it, and then only God sees how it all fits together to bring about His plans and His purposes. I just encourage you to have an open heart. Life is so much more spiritual than we realize it. The spirit realm is real. The Holy Spirit, the angels of God, that's all real. The demonic realm, that's real. There is evil, there is good, and we are involved in the good fight of the faith. We've been given authority as God's people. If I were the devil, I would want to convince people, don't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit stuff. Don't believe in that revelatory stuff. Don't think that God would still speak to you through a dream or God would give you a vision. Stay away from that stuff. If I was the enemy, that's what I'd want to tell people. Because all through the Bible, you see God moving through His Spirit, moving through angelic ministry, moving through revelatory encounters to bring about His plans and purposes and designs. And our chief apostle, our Savior Jesus Christ, lived that way. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. He had a seer anointing. And he could see what the Father was doing. He said, that's what I do. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen? Well, that's all I got to say about that. Stand with me. Just trying to encourage you. Listen, we're loading the bus up. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want to see God accomplish what He's prophesied all these years. And I believe this is the time. This is the hour that we need to get serious about stepping into it. And I'll be stepping in some more of this teaching next Wednesday night. So encourage others to come. Encourage them to watch the teaching. And you be encouraged that the one who lives inside of you, the Holy Spirit, He is greater than anything you're going to face in this world. And I, along with the Apostle Paul, pray that the spirit of revelation and knowledge and spiritual understanding would rest upon you, that you would know the depths and riches of the grace of God and the hope of His calling upon your life, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that you would see what He wants you to see, hear what He wants you to hear, know what He wants you to know, and understand what He wants you to understand. You were made for this. You were made for such a time as this. To see the signs, the wonders, and the miracles of God. To do great exploits for God. Why not you? Why not now? So let's just open our hearts up. Would you join me? Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, we ask for a fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit tonight. Oh, Lord, I thank You for the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you even said yourself, it was necessary for you to go away so that He, the Holy Spirit, could come. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We want to be led by you, knowing that you will glorify Jesus in and through our lives. Could you, perhaps tonight, could you say, Holy Spirit, here I am, have your way. Here I am, have your way. And I pray that, Father, would increase the revelation in your life. I pray that as you begin to read the Word, that the light of the Word would leap out into your heart. You'd receive those rhema words. I pray that when you lay your head on the pillow at night, that you would be visited with dreams from God, where He would show you things to come. I pray that you, as the Acts chapter 2 says, because the Holy Spirit's come, that young men will see vision, old men will dream dreams, that sons and daughters would prophesy. I declare that truth over you, that visions, dreams, and the prophetic are part of your birthright. They are part of your inheritance. The Lord is your portion. He is your cup. And you have a good inheritance in the Lord. And all these things are part of your inheritance. Rejoice in that. Receive that. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I'm going to stop for a stop, start preaching. This altar is open. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members to be here. If you need prayer, they'll be here. But thanks for being here tonight. Invite others to be here this Sunday. And would you do this? Would you pray for the service Sunday? Come Sunday, packed and ready to praise and worship. Pray about getting in these altars and lifting your hands. I'm going to encourage our people, let's create an atmosphere of expectancy where people are pressing in to all that the Lord has. There's nothing that my God can't do. Amen. You be blessed. This altar's open if you need prayer. Come on up. God's good.
Do is work.